This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Chris and Amy Show, but no Amy today. She is on her 11th vacation in 2025. Is it 11?
It's a pretty good run.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Pajeski says. Yeah, dude, she has the life. John Hancock is here. Chris Ranji, thank you so much for listening today, streaming on the Odyssey app, watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. We love that you do that. And we also love that you, as a city, as a region, have really come out strong in our effort with the Red Cross. And the donations, we are still taking them because the people impacted by the storm on May 16th are going to need your help, going to need our help for quite some time. This is not the sort of thing that'll be over in a month or two. This is going to take a very long time. But so far, awesome. KMOX.com/Red Cross. We have raised, in conjunction with Fox 2 and the Red Cross, $245,000. So just over that amount. So it's a good chunk of money, but it will go quickly. We know things are expensive and, you know, the recovery is expensive, so they will need every last penny of it. So if you are able to, the minimum donation is $10, but you can donate whatever you want. You can go to KMOX.com/Red Cross and also feel confident knowing all of the money that we raise is going to stay in the area. So people in Missouri who are affected by the storm and that storm crossing over into Illinois, people in Illinois as well, all of it stays here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah. And the other thing you don't think a lot about in a situation like this is that there's going to be some number of St. Louisans whose homes have been decimated and they're not going to be able to rebuild here. And I remember I knew a family who had lost everything in Katrina back in 2005, and they couldn't afford to rebuild. You know, I don't know whether it was insurance or whatever the situation was. And they had a connection to a family in St. Louis who took them in. And these folks literally had nothing, and they had to rebuild their lives and start rebuilding. They had to find jobs. They had kids. They had to get educated. It was, you know, a period of time. And here we are now, 20 years hence, that couple and their kids are grown. They're doing very well. They've got good jobs. But that was a very traumatic period in their lives. And I would suspect that there's going to be people from St. Louis who may have lost everything and don't have the wherewithal to rebuild that are going to have to start a new life
somewhere else. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing you can't plan for, and most of us never even think about as a possibility, but it's a real possibility for probably a number of people who have lived in the city.
The estimation is what, that 70% of the people who were affected don't have homeowners insurance.
In North St. Louis.
So, you know, the inability to rebuild is real for a lot of those folks. So they will have to go, if they have family in, you know, wherever it is, Alabama, Tennessee, Michigan, wherever they have family, they might end up leaving. And it's not going to be, I don't think, John, I don't think it's going to be a huge number of people to where it shows up in population.
Smaller thing than what Katrina was.
Right.
Just massive.
But it's also the sort of thing where we lose population as a region. We don't want anybody to leave for any reason.
Right.
Right. We want people to stay here for whatever reason. And to have anybody leave, I don't think that's necessarily good. But for them, it is devastating when you've lived in a house, your whole life, and maybe your parents lived there, and maybe your grandparents lived there too, to have this happen to you and to not have the means to rebuild, that is difficult. And I think you're right. I think there are going to be a number of folks who would just have to leave town and go somewhere where they have family.
I mean, you know, you think about losing everything. I mean, your house, everything in the house, damage, gone, and no place to put it. All your stuff, your sentimental stuff, your valuable stuff, all of that. And in a tornado type situation, it's entirely possible that your car is destroyed as well.
Right.
And I mean, it is literally losing everything. And man, my heart goes out to people that are in that circumstance. And we've got, I know, between 150 and 200 people still in shelters here living. And the National Guard's on the ground in St. Louis today, so that's beginning to assist some. FEMA, I think, will step up to the plate. I hope will step up to the plate, because those 70% of folks in North St. Louis that don't have insurance, that's their only resort at this point.
Now, some of the natural disaster funding that was requested by Governor Kehoe for storms that happened back in March and into April just now got approved. So that's a process that takes a long time.
Right.
Right. So this tornado from May 16th, well, are we still looking at about another month or so before we know?
Man, I could be. I hope not. I've seen disasters declared in very real time, very quickly by the White House over the years. And I would hope this one would be granted soon, because that's what triggers FEMA, and that's what begins to trigger the relief. Thought it was interesting, one of the Board of Aldermen members talked about the Ram settlement money, and not the principal, the $250 million, whatever it is, but it's earned $30 million in interest so far, and he's proposed using that $30 million immediately to begin helping people with city resources. I thought that was an interesting idea.
Do you... So how much have the federal cuts, do you think, and, you know, maybe we don't know for sure, but everything that's happened over the last few months, has that slowed down the process of why it took weeks and weeks for parts of Missouri from the storms that happened in March and April to finally get that approved? Should that have been done quicker? Should it be quicker here, what happened in St. Louis, a couple of weeks ago? It seems like it shouldn't take that long, but maybe they don't deserve it, but I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that with the red tape, maybe it just takes a long time to get this approved.
I don't think we can say with any certainty that the Doge cuts have impacted this, but I also can't say with any certainty that they haven't. It's unclear to me, other than USAID, it's unclear to me what the extent of the Doge cuts beyond that program really are. And there's a lot of dispute about what's even on the Doge website, the 100 and now I think they're up to 185 billion that they've cut. But a lot of that's not even been verified yet by independent sources.
Yeah, I don't know that the Doge cuts are going to have the effect. And here's what's interesting is that the polling, you ask people, ask the general public, most people are supportive of the idea of a Department
Absolutely.
Of Government Efficiency.
Yeah, I am.
I think everybody is. Yeah. If you tell them what it is and you say, hey, it's not attached to Elon Musk, he doesn't have anything to do with this. There just is a government efficiency office, okay? And they're going to go through and make sure that we're streamlining everything. Most people would be on board with not wasting money,
that
right?
That should exist, yes.
Yes, but then if you ask them, and this is true, if you ask them if they approve of the way Elon is doing it, overwhelmingly they said no. So like it was just it wasn't, what they did was not efficient. It doesn't appear to be very helpful. The idea of it sounds great, but the practice of it, it really seems to be an absolute mess. And I do think that some of these government agencies are going to suffer in ways we don't realize yet, like this, the NOAA, NOAA with their weather predicting abilities,
right,
like that help, you know, the National Weather Service and predict storms like were happening, a week and a half ago here. Like that stuff has all been affected. And I think that we're going to find out, hopefully not in a tragic way, but we're going to find out just how bad it is sometime soon. John Hancock, Chris Ranji. When we come back, the Battle Hawks, they are playing on Friday, another Friday game for them, Friday night. And they're going to be a playoff team. Did you know this?
I did know
that. They're in the playoffs. Well, the Battle Hawks are going to play on Friday against DC. Blake Jackson, Battle Hawks receiver, joins us next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
They go with the pop pass, and it's an option 2 pass. And launching it is Jackson.
The Battle Hawks.
That was exciting.
Playoff-bound Battle Hawks are in action again this Friday, 7 o'clock in D.C. The Battle Hawks are 7-2, and they'll be taking on the Defenders. We go to the guest line this morning, and we welcome in Battle Hawks receiver Blake Jackson, who is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Blake?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man? Thank you for having me on.
Hey, we are happy to have you on, and we love talking to Battle Hawks players. Pretty much everybody we've talked to has been a great deal of fun, and I think a lot of it has to do with being on this team and the amount of fun this team must be, especially considering you play in a building where people in St. Louis come out to support in a huge way.
Yes, sir, man. This year has been definitely one to remember. Everybody on this team we've been preaching since training camp to have fun, to remember that this is football and it's a game. And even though it's our profession, it's our career, that just to remember to have fun, remember the little things. And it's been evident in the way we've been playing. So, yeah, man, we're going to keep it going and carry that over into the postseason.
I see here you spent some time in Cape Girardeau as a quarterback for the Southeast Missouri University.
SEMO.
Where are you from,
yes,
originally?
Sir. So I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I actually have family that lives in a little small town outside of Joplin, Missouri, called Crane.
I've been there.
Growing up, I was there every year for Thanksgiving and the summer and all that kind of stuff. And So I'm familiar with the area in Missouri and everything.
Yeah. So, Blake, it's interesting because you don't see it a ton where you've got a guy who's played quarterback in college and then moves to receiver, which you did. What was that decision like? Was it all your decision? Were you sort of, goaded into doing that, or how did that come about?
So whenever I was coming out of Mary Harden Baylor, I had some scouts that came up to the school to like work me out before my pro day. And pretty much the scouts were just saying, just out of the, off of like the level I was coming out of and my measurables and all that kind of stuff and height and weight. But the way that I played on the field, they said that I might want to transition and try out receiver. So I started training receiver and watching film on certain guys that were already doing it in the league and just try to, mimic what I would like and teach myself in a way how to run routes. And I just got to work and studying all the ins and outs of the receiver position. And once I learned it and got in front of the scouts, that was it.
Well, first of all, did you push back against it? Did you not want to? And then secondly, once you decided to do it, how quickly did mm-hmm. you take to it?
No, there was really no pushback from it. I remember it's crazy how God works and with your journey, man. I remember coming out of high school. I had an opportunity as a dual threat quarterback to go to like big Power Five schools and play receiver as an athlete. And I had turned that down then, to stay at quarterback. And then whenever I was, transitioning, from SEMO going into the transfer, world, I had the same thing. Guys telling me, hey, if you want to play receiver for us, then we can get you here. And it was a bigger school than the school I ended up going to. And then I ended up playing quarterback, and I was glad I stuck with it. And now we fast forward to today. Man, it's just, it's such a blessing. You know, I didn't, there was no, you know, pushback on my end, because more of like, hey, man, I get to have this opportunity. I just want to put myself in the best position to have the opportunity to play professional football at the next level. So I did that, and I wouldn't change anything.
So when I was in high school 100 years ago, my best friend got recruited to Arkansas. He had been a running back, and they converted him into a wide receiver and a kick returner. And he gets drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, and he's their kickoff and punt returner, and made the Pro Bowl his first year as a kick returner. And I would have to believe that that's one of the most scariest things to do on a football field. How do you like returning those kicks?
Man, the return game is fun. That's something that, you know, little league and middle school and high school, like, if you played football and you were an athlete at some point in your career, even if no matter what the position you played, you returned the ball. So that was something, you know, that wasn't new to me. I've done it. I've been playing football my whole life. I've done the return stuff before, and it was just kind of just going out there and taking care of it, trusting in my ability, trusting in my athleticism, just go out there and make plays.
Well, you do it very well. And, you know, one thing I've observed about this team through the interviews that we've done with the various athletes, I sense that there's a strong faith commitment by a number of members of this team. Has that helped kind of bind you all together as a cohesive unit?
Yes, sir. Of course, a lot of guys on our team are faith-driven and faith-based, and, you know, that feeds over into just off the field stuff as well. Guys linking up together to go to church, guys linking up for Bible study, guys just praying together. You know, we faced some adversity through the year, through this season. And, I feel like we've overcame that adversity, just based off of, you know, believing in God and God's journey for us as a unit.
Battle Hawks receiver Blake Jackson, he's number 8. He is with us here on KMOX. And you've got the game coming up on Friday night, so it's another Friday night contest. You go back to your high school days of playing on Friday. Do you like Friday? Do you like Saturday? Or do you like Sunday? What do you prefer as a football player?
Man, I prefer any day I get the touchdown on that field and get on that field, man. It doesn't matter. It could be a Monday, a Tuesday. It could be any day of the week, and we're going to go out there and perform, man. So it's just a blessing.
So you got the playoffs. You got one last regular season game that's fairly inconsequential. But the playoffs are right around the corner. What can you tell me about your opponents that you're going to see in that conference championship?
Yeah, man. You know, we know what their strengths are. We know what their weaknesses are. We have a great, you know, game plan for them, and we're going to live by what we've been living by all season, man. We just go out there and we do our 111. Everybody takes care of what they need to take care of. We don't need no Supermans. Everybody just play their role. Everybody know their role and make their play when their number's called. We're gonna have a great, great, great season. Great end to our season.
We should mention that we already knew that the UFL championship game was going to be here in St. Louis. That is June 14th. Well, also the conference championship game now is going to be here in St. Louis, just because there was some sort of conflict or something in Washington, D.C. So that conference championship game is going to be here, too. So we have, you know, we've been telling every player, Blake, who's come on the show in the last few weeks, that you have to get to the championship game now so that you can play in front of the home crowd. So you have to promise to do that.
Oh, yes, sir. That's a promise I can keep, too.
You can keep it?
Yes, sir. We can keep that promise.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to need more detail. Tell me how you're going to keep it.
He's going to get a 73-yard punt return, Ranj.
Yes, sir. We're going to get you a touchdown on special teams, get you a touchdown on offense, and, man, just everybody like taking care of business. We're going to be there.
Six sacks. We're going to sack the quarterback six times.
But can you also get me like another trick play? Because you had the 57-yard touchdown pass on a trick play.
Yes, sir. Hey, if we're at a point in the game where that's what we need, then we're going to get it done. But, you know, we can get it done without, you know, with all the the trick play stuff, I feel like we can still get it done.
I enjoy watching this team so much and always have.
Yes, sir. It's a fun year. It's been a fun year, fun team.
Talk to me about the coaching, because I feel like your coaching staff is A+.
Yes, sir. So, like, it's evident in the way that our team, players, if you can tell, like, how we go out there and we perform, how we handle ourselves on the field, off the field. That's a testament to our coaching staff, man, from top to bottom, from Coach Beck all the way down to, you know, it doesn't matter. It's everyone. Every single coach has played this game, has played this game at a high level, has been coaching this game at a high level, has been around the best of the best, so they know what it takes to put together a winning team and a championship team. So that's something that you could tell that, and I'm grateful for. As an individual, I'm grateful for just the coaching staff, man, and what they bring to the table. Each person always brings something. That's football-wise, but also in life, man. We have a lot of guys that bring the philosophies to us every day, every week, and they're teaching us how to be better men on and off the field.
All right, so Friday, road game. It's your last road game, really, of the season, because however long the Battle Hawks go, they will be playing at the Dome at America Center. So that is Friday night, 7 o'clock, against D.C., then the following week again against D.C., but this time we'll be at the Dome. So we're looking forward to having you back here in St. Louis. Blake, good luck to you, and you promised a championship game, so you have to deliver now. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, of course. I appreciate you guys, man.
Don't show them any of the good stuff on Friday.
Yeah.
Save it.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Yeah, so you're going to, like, there's going to be a little bit of that, right? Like, holding back?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, I mean,
this weekend.
You know, we're going to go out there, and we're going to do what we need to do to get the win, and however we need to get it, we're going to get it, and then the next week as well, you know, whatever we got to go out there and do, we're going to get the win as well. So, it's going to be a great postseason for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you, Blake. And good luck to you Friday. Good luck to you next weekend and the weekend after that. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man.
That is Blake Jackson, the Battle Hawks wide receiver. He's number 8 on the field. And again, they will be playing in D.C. Friday night at 7 o'clock. It is their last regular season game. Then Sunday, June 8th, it is a 5 o'clock game. They'll get going to 5 o'clock at the Dome at America Center. Championship game is the following Saturday, so they better win. I think they're going to. I think we're going to see a Battle Hawks championship this year. I believe it. When we come back, John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals, joins the Chris and Amy Show. John Hancock and Chris Ronji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Wind plays behind the runner at second base. The pitch. Ground ball to the first baseman. That's picked by Burleson. He kicks the bag for a Redbird winner. Henderson is out 3 and assisted, and this ballgame has come to an end. The Cardinals even the series with a 7-4 victory at Camden Yards.
Cardinals can win the series tonight. It is a 4:40 pregame show and a 5:35 first pitch right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. As the road trip continues, we are welcomed. We welcome in now. We're joined by John Rooney, radio voice of the team. And John, this team continues to never be out of it. They gave up the lead last night, but they found a way to come back and win it again.
Well, that's the way they've been winning games lately, Chris. They've been hitting late in games and keeping the pressure on the opponent. That shows us how well Charlie Morton pitched in his game on Monday, where the Cardinals really couldn't get anything going against him. And then they got to some relievers at the end of the game that had not been used as much over the weekend series in Boston. And that was not a good combination to try to come back from a three-run deficit late in the game. But last night, the Cardinals got down by a run, and Mason Wynn came up with a huge RBI to tie the game in the seventh inning. He drove in one of the runs in the eighth inning, and that's after Arenado gave the Cardinals the lead with a homer. But it was a very exciting eighth inning. Arenado's home run, back-to-back triples, and then a hit by Mason Wynn, and the Cardinals were able to go ahead and put the game away. A good relief by Steven Matz last night, who did pitch long enough and effectively enough to, in the eyes of Major League Baseball, to get a win. And the save was a good one last night. Very good stuff for Ryan Helsley.
Yeah, the bullpen has been, well, it's a tale of two cities. Early in the season, the bullpen was losing some games late. We had Fernandez lost a couple. But in this streak that we're on, 16 out of 22, it's been, the bullpen's been amazing, hasn't it?
Well, the bullpen is setting up. And, John, when you get the bullpen set, and Oliver can get at least six innings out of the starting pitching, then you can ride that bullpen for a good long time, as the Cardinals have over that stretch of 21-22 games, where the Cardinals have really won some good, well-played, tightly played games. And that's part of a young team learning how to win. But if you don't get the bullpen set up anymore, it's going to be hard to stay at .500 and then compete for a playoff spot, because other bullpens are going to line up ahead of you. And then when we get to October, it's definitely a bullpen game anymore.
Well, no, there was a little bit of concern with Lars Nootbaar, because he was going through that stretch where it just hadn't been working for him. He wasn't getting the hits. But, you know, last night, a couple of runs batted in, 3 for 4, had the home run, and he sort of broke out of that in a pretty big way.
Everybody's going to go through that. And Lars was going through his stretch where he was putting the ball in play, striking out some, a very frustrating day Monday for Lars and for Walker, striking out, taking a called third strike with runners in scoring position. But he was able to break out last night. That hit the first time up, kind of like a jump shooter. You get that first shot down, and that guy in basketball is going to score some points if he's a good player, good shooter at all. And Nootbaar was able to pick up on it, and then he hit the home run to right field. I think that really energized not only Nootbaar, but this entire Cardinal team. They go through that, though. Guys are going to go through some slumps and have to make some corrections and get right back in the proper frame of mind and put things together, as Nootbaar was able to do last night. But Mason Wynn got off to that slow start this year, and boy, did he pick it up after about 22, 23 at-bats. And as I said, everybody goes through it at some point, and hopefully somebody else in the lineup will pick that particular player up until that player gets going again.
I've seen back-to-back home runs probably, I don't know, a couple, three dozen times over the course of my baseball watching life. I don't know that I've ever seen back-to-back triples. And Gorman and Walker, two guys you wouldn't suspect to be hitting back-to-back triples, that was big for them. And how rare is that in baseball, John?
No, it's very rare. I've probably seen it maybe once and twice, including last night. It doesn't happen often. Back-to-back, I'm not sure I've ever seen that before last night, but I've seen two triples in an inning before, a time or two. It's very, very rare. It's like, you know, what's tougher, a hitting for the cycle or a pitcher pitching a no-hitter? They're both very rare. So that was kind of fun to watch. And in this ballpark, it's a triples-type park, where you get the right carom off the wall with all the angles in the wall here at Camden Yards. And their right fielder, Kerstad, just couldn't make the play. The ball went off him for the first triple, and then Walker hit one high off the wall. They've tinkered with the wall so much here, it's hard to see whether it's going to be a home run, if it gets over a short wall or up into the seats over the high wall. But Walker kept on running, and that's what I credit both players for doing. They were running hard out of the box and gave themselves a chance to get to third base, and they were rewarded with triples.
Mason Wynn, you mentioned him. He got a big hit last night, which tied the game, and it tied the game at 4. As you've seen him from last year to this year, what have you seen in terms of his growth? Is there something that really sticks out to you?
No, Mason is just getting better and better. That's what stands out. I mean, he's a young player who is getting his feet on the ground at the major league level. He doesn't make mistakes in the field. He's a good base runner. He's not a real base stealer yet, and I think at some point he will be as his career evolves. But I think it's just a young man taking advantage of games played and repetition and being out there and growing and gaining the strength to play a 162-game schedule. I think that's one of the hardest parts for the real young players coming up from the minor leagues with not all that much time in the minors to get used to. But Mason's doing that. I think we're seeing steady growth and pretty much what they expected from Mason Winn, knowing he has a cannon for an arm, good range, and he makes the play over the shoulder in left field, left center field, about as well as any shortstop I've ever seen. He's incredible going to the outfield on those short fly balls. And we saw one last night. No way Scott had a chance of making a play, but Wynn just made it look like it was an everyday play for him.
Last thing, John, before we let you go, the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame induction is happening on Friday in Osage Beach, and you are the MC for that. Tell us about the event.
Well, it's going to be a great night from St. Louis. We have Joe Buck, Roger Cobra is going in, and Jim Jackson, our engineer extraordinaire, who went into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame last November. So he gets the daily double by going into the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. And I'm really glad that the Missouri Broadcasters are honoring technicians, engineers who built stations, engineers who have worked a long time with broadcast crews like Jim has with the Cardinals, and he's also done the Blues. He did the Rams, and he's been involved with a lot of college basketball with the Billikens, and I'm so glad that he's being honored, because sometimes those are the unsung people, and Jim is the most important person in that booth when he's a producer engineer and has been for so many years. And Ryan Schulte is doing a real good job so far with us on the road, as Jim is just doing home games now. But it's a wonderful evening where the Hall of Famers get to tell their stories, and Julie Buck is going to interview Joe Buck. Normally we do a video and this and that, and trying to coordinate that with Joe's schedule. We thought it would just be better if Julie came up on stage and interviewed Joe and talked about life with the Buck family and then his career. And it's going to be a really fun night. The Missouri Broadcasters do it upright. It's a very, very special event, and one that I'm looking forward to if I can get back there. That's the thing. We're waiting this out today. I don't know if we'll play today. And in that event, we don't fly to Texas tonight, and I was going to fly home from Texas tomorrow. They'll have to play tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So I'll figure it out. I'll get there. I'll show up, even if I have to, you know, come in my sweats and do the show coming off the airplane. But
whatever you have to do,
we'll make it.
Whatever you have to do, man.
You know, yeah. That's what we do in broadcasting. We adapt and do what you have to do. But the folks haven't had a chance to take part in the Missouri Broadcasters Association inductions, it is a wonderful evening, and the same for the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. The stories, the speeches, and the people involved, it's a great way we have in our state to honor those who set the table for us. Jack Buck is in there, Harry Carey. We also have Mike Shannon, Jay Randolph. They're in the Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Mike Claiborne went in last year. I went in 21, and it is something I'll never forget. It was just a great time.
All right, John, enjoy Friday nights, and hopefully there's some baseball tonight. If not, then tomorrow. But I expect you either way, whenever it's played, to call a winner.
Well, if I have to leave tomorrow, it's up to Ricky and Claves the Uh-oh. Rest of the trip. But, okay. I'll tell him you said that.
No, I mean, you don't get to be a part of it.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I can't wait. I'm calling them the moment we hang up. Here we go.
That was an uh-oh for your benefit, because you don't get to be part of the win.
Oh, you're backtracking now. Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go.
Not good. Not good.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys. See Have you, a John. Good one. Bye.
That is John Rooney, voice of the Cardinals. And as scheduled, we'll see if it happens. 5:35 tonight, first pitch. 4:40 will be the pregame show. Hopefully. Otherwise, I guess they're playing tomorrow. That's the first I've heard of it.
They'll try to get this game in. I assume the Orioles must have an open date tomorrow as well.
Right.
And
well, they will get it in, whether it's tonight or tomorrow. Yeah. They will wait, because
this is the only trip.
This is the only trip to Baltimore, and they don't want to have to go back there and play it later in the year for one game. So
right. There are some seasons where when it's irrelevant, where they just cancel that game and the team only plays 161. I've seen that happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but right. It does happen.
It does.
Yep. So we'll see if there's baseball later on tonight. John Rooney, again, Missouri Broadcast Hall of Famer, and he will be emceeing that event at Margaritaville Lake Resort in
Man,
Osage
you think
Beach.
About the historic broadcasters that have passed through this place. It's really remarkable. All the way back to Franz Lox.
Who?
Franz Lox, buddy. The voice.
Should I know that?
Yeah, he was the voice of the Cardinals at one point.
That does not sound familiar to me.
Well, he was there.
Dizzy I believe
Dean.
You. Dizzy, oh, Dizzy Dean. Yeah, of course.
Games.
Yeah, Dizzy.
Milo Hamilton called some games.
Milo Hamilton. I remember him with the Houston Astros.
Joe Garagiola.
That's right.
Some
of
games.
Course.
We've had some great broadcasters here.
It is a highly sought after gig. I mean, all Major League Baseball play-by-play is, because there are only 60 of those jobs in the country,
except
really.
Except for the Rockies. It would be horrible.
No, you would want that job.
Yeah, no, I get it. But to have a team that's so bad and to have to go night after night and watch it, you know, that would be tough.
As challenging goes in broadcasting, I guess that would be.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you were
just to have a bad team.
Some pretty lean years doing the White Sox, right?
We had some good ones, though,
you
too.
You did.
When I started, 06.
Right after the World
right
Series.
Right after a World Series. Yeah. They had a playoff year in 08.
Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, they had a good ball club.
Really good team. Mm-hmm. Really good lineup. Then 2008. And then pretty much every other year, not so great.
Right. What's the deal
not
there?
So great.
Are they just poorly managed?
Bad owners.
Bad owners.
Bad ownership.
Right.
He is Jerry Reinsdorf's not very good.
Yeah.
He just isn't. He wants to win,
but he doesn't want to spend any money.
He wants to win in a very specific set of parameters.
Mm-hmm.
That he always has to get a good deal, and if he doesn't get a good deal, then he doesn't get the player. And
how
you know,
long has he had that franchise?
Since the '80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did the Comiskey family own it up until then, or was there a different ownership?
No,
prior?
I think the so I'm a little confused. Bill Veeck, I think that family owned part of it. Bill Veeck was part of
the Browns.
The Browns here.
He's the one that moved the Browns to Baltimore.
Yeah. So no, but he's as an owner, I get it. You have a budget and you want to stay within your budget, within the framework of it. I totally understand. But in sports, sometimes you have to extend yourself a little bit.
Well, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the richest contract they have ever given anybody is, I want to say, Jose Abreu,
mm-hmm.
$75 million total.
Wow.
That's
so never
horrible.
Had a $100 million contract.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can't sustain that in this day and age.
In market three, it's
right.
The third biggest
yeah.
market of the country.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, not
that's
good.
Just, it's not a commitment. Yeah, of course you want to win, but it has to be done in this little tight window here. It's got to be perfect right here. Well, then you're not going to win.
No.
Good luck. And his Bulls team sucks, too. Do you know how bad of an owner you have to be when your fan base wants you to die? I'm not kidding. They want him to pass away because he won't sell the team otherwise. I'm not joking. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. This is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Chris and Amy Show, but no Amy. Vacation. John Hancock. Chris Ranji. Charlie Metzner, who is the founder of the St. Louis Hero Network.
I know him well.
And Brian McKenna Day is coming up on May 31st, and that's just a few days away from now. So Charlie's going to be in to talk about that event.
Cool.
We had J.C. Corcoran in last week. I think it was last Thursday mm-hmm. or Friday, and he's going to be there for a lot of people are going to be in attendance because everybody loved Brian. So John, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I know that you are a horrific driver.
Not the best.
It doesn't take that much to be good at driving. You just have to apply yourself.
Well, I do apply myself.
But part of the problem I've noticed in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
it's not exclusive to you. People here can't drive. They're not very good at it.
Good.
And one of the...
The same boat, or car, as it were.
One of the aspects of Missouri drivers that really bothers me is that y'all don't honk. You don't honk when it's time to honk.
No, we're not big honkers in Missouri. That's true.
No, you are not big honkers. I should not have to be six cars deep at a green light that has been green for 4, 5, 6 seconds. Yeah. I should not be the one to have to honk. If you are the car that is behind the lead car and that car is not moving when the light is green, it is your responsibility to honk. Now, I know when I'm six cars back and I'm honking at the guy in front of me, he's thinking, what are you honking at me for?
Right.
I can't move. That's a pass it forward honk. That is a honk that I'm giving to you to give to the guy in front of you who gives him to the car in front of him
it
or
is,
her.
It is frustrating.
And here's, honk.
Here's,
go.
Here's the thing. Because St. Louisans really are kind people. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm not a big honker either. And if I, but here's the problem with honking. You can't differentiate the honk. So somebody's going to slam into you. You need it to be honk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. But for the guy that's not moving at the green light, you need a honk. And so if they had a two-tiered honk system on the car, couldn't be that difficult to implement. So you'd have the, oh my gosh, get out of the way honk, and a, hey buddy, move it along honk. Then I think you'd see the honking activity escalate with very kind and generous St. Louis drivers.
Well, okay. I think there's something unkind about waiting for the person in front of you to realize the light is green because you're holding up everybody behind you. You
rude.
Should be doing the public service, and
well,
you should be honking at the car in front of
well,
you to
gonna,
start
I don't
moving.
Wanna, I don't want to jar the poor guy. I mean,
No. Yes, you do. You need to wake him out of his slumber.
Maybe he's tuning out of listening to me on the radio.
It doesn't matter. There's no excuse for you to be at the green light not paying attention. And if you get that little, the point about the honk is you hear it and then you come to attention and go, oh, what's going on? Oh, green light. Sorry, yeah. I'll go. However, you might be on to something, and I would be in favor of there being a separate, hey, buddy, wake up honk.
Right.
The light is green.
Yeah.
They could do it like the tornado sirens.
Yeah.
Where it says, this is a test of the emergency alert system,
yeah.
You know? And it could just be a voice that says, hey, the light is green. You may go.
Put the beep, beep, the roadrunner sound. Beep, beep. That would be good.
Whatever it is.
There should be a law.
Listening to be a honker. I want you to be a proactive honker.
Yeah.
And if you have done it, I want you to tell us about it.
And if you're first
the next
in
time
line,
you do it.
You've got a responsibility to the public.
Yes.
And don't forget it.
Yes. The next time you honk, to be proactive, I want you to let us know about it at 314-436-7900. We will celebrate you on the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.